Our first reading for this morning is for this evening is going to come from Psalm 51. It has traditionally been associated with King David, acknowledging before the Lord his sins and shortcomings. But we'll be reading from Psalm 51, verses 1 through 17. It's found on page 492. So let us listen to God's word for us. Have mercy on me, O God, according to thy steadfast love. According to thy abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done that which is evil in thy sight, so that thou art justified in thy sentence and blameless in thy judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward being. Therefore teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Fill me with joy and gladness. Let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with the willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will return to thee. Deliver me from blood guiltlessness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of thy deliverance. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou hast no delight in sacrifice. Were I to give a burnt offering, thou wouldest not be pleased. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Our gospel reading will come from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6 of Matthew's Gospel, reading first verses 1 through 6, and then 16 through 21. So let us again listen to God's word for us that begins on page 839 in your pew Bibles. Beware of practicing your piety before men in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give alms, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by men. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, that they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may be seen by men, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It's the word of the Lord. Amen. Well, we are here this evening for this Ash Wednesday, the beginning of the season of Lent. And one of the things I like about this season of Lent is that it is a time that we can all be brutally honest about ourselves. Lent is never a very popular season, as you can see. Ash Wednesday is never a terribly popular service. But it's a time where we can be honest about who we are. There are a few places and times in our society where we can be honest and open and frank about ourselves, but Ash Wednesday is one of those times, and here at the church is one of those places. So I congratulate you on being here this evening. One of the things that we're reminded about ourselves during this season is about the power of sin in our lives. You know, we are sinners. We don't like to hear that, and we don't use that word very much in our culture and in our society. We don't even use that word in the church anymore. The word sin, not something that we use very much even inside the church. I was talking to a friend of mine several years ago, and he told me that they don't say the word sin in church because it's considered to be a downer. They try to, he said, keep things in a spirit that is upbeat and positive, and so they don't use the word sin. And it's true that sin is a downer. But we also are reminded that it is the truth about who we are, and not using the word sin will not make sin go away. And so we, on Ash Wednesday and during the season of Lent, we remind ourselves that we are all sinners. To acknowledge, of course, that we are sinful is simply to acknowledge that we all fall short of the glory of God. It's to acknowledge that we all miss the mark, we all fail to be the human beings that God has called us to be. And to say that we are sinners is not to beat up on ourselves, but it is simply to acknowledge that there's something wrong with us, something wrong with the world. And unless we acknowledge that there is something wrong, we can't begin to make it right. So to acknowledge that we are sinners is simply to acknowledge that we have fallen short of what God has intended us to be. There is something wrong. The church has said different things about sin down through the ages, about how we become ensnared in sin. Some have said that sin is kind of like a genetic disease, something that is passed down to us from our first parents. That sin is something that is a part of our human DNA. We are sinful, and it's something that we get from those who are before us. We can't help but to sin. And others have said that sin is not so much like a genetic disease, but it's a power that dominates us, a power that has come to capture our hearts and our imaginations. We inevitably sin because we've been captured by the power of sin. And so we are people who are enslaved by the power of sin. There are some who place a great deal of emphasis on individual sins, the individual sins that we are all tempted by, the individual sins that we all commit. And then there are some who place their emphasis upon structural and corporate sin, the sin that dominates all of our lives. But wherever you place the emphasis, whether you believe that sin is something that is genetically passed down to us, or whether you believe that sin is a force that has captured our hearts or in our imaginations, or whether you believe that sin is something that we do individually, or whether you acknowledge that sin is something deeper, structural, and corporate, sin is a reality in our lives and a reality in our world. And so we come here during the season of Lent, especially during Ash Wednesday, to acknowledge that we are sinful. The other thing we come to hear about ourselves, too, during this season is that we are dust. We will hear those words in just a few moments. You are dust, and to dust you will return. It is a reminder that one day we will die, and that, too, is a downer. We do everything we can to repress that fact, to deny that fact. We live in a society that doesn't want to hear that or to be reminded of that, but that we will die. I received in the mail the other day some correspondence from AARP, I think that's what it is, reminding me that I am a senior citizen, that I'm now in the ranks of the senior citizens. We never want to hear that. We don't sometimes like to acknowledge that we are getting older, because getting older reminds us that our days are numbered and that one day we will die. We will return to the dust. But again, our refusal to talk about it or acknowledge it will not make death go away. We are dust, and it is to the dust that we will return. And we are reminded, too, as Jesus reminded us in our reading from Matthew, that not only are we destined for the dust, but everything that we treasure will one day become dust as well. All of our possessions, all of our accumulations, all of our elaborate and prideful constructions will one day return to the dust. Yesterday, a colleague was showing the pastoral group that I belong to some photographs of an archaeological dig that he participated in somewhere in the Middle East. And if you've ever seen these pictures of an archaeological dig, oftentimes they do their work on what's called a tell, which is a huge mound. And those mounds are usually ancient cities that have been laid over again and again. Sometimes cities are built on top of cities so that over the centuries they just become these huge mounds. But they're huge mounds of dirt. And these archaeologists and others are digging through all of this dirt and dust in order to recover lost civilizations. And he was showing some of the pottery that was found and the shards of pottery that was left over from ancient civilizations. One of them was the mighty Assyrians, and he was showing this pottery from the mighty Assyrian civilization, which is not there anymore. It's all dust. Everything that once represented the mighty Assyrians is all gone, inlaid in dust. And one day, that is true, will be true for us too. Everything that we treasure, not only will we become dust, but everything that we treasure too will become dust. Again, the intention is not to grovel in this, it's not to grovel in morbidity, it's not to beat up on ourselves or feel bad about the fact that one day we will die, but it is simply to remind ourselves that we are not God, and that nothing that comes from us is God. Whether it's our families, our communities, our country, our civilization, nothing that we build or treasure can ultimately save us, because one day, like us, it will all become dust. And so Lent is the one season in the Christian year where we are asked to remember that. We are asked to remember that we are dust, and it is to the dust that we will return. But here is the good news in all of this, or some good news, and the good news is the news that encourages us to be honest. And the good news is that neither the power of sin nor the power of death have the last word over who we are. The last word over who we are belongs to God. The last word over who we are belongs to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has already broken the power of sin and death in our lives and indeed in the world. And so the ashes that we will place on our foreheads in just a few moments are ashes that will be placed on the top of the mark that was placed on our foreheads during our baptism. Underlying the ashes and the reminder of death is the promise of new life. And so Lent is not just a time that we are called to be honest about who we are, but it's also a time for us to rejoice in our hope that in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the power of death and sin has been broken, and that our future is a future of life and life in abundance. And that life begins not just when we die, after we die, but it's new life that begins right now.